Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com. Our theme in April is understanding investments. During the last 3 weeks, I have covered 8 different types of investments, investment objectives, and the taxes associated with investments. You can find the links to these archived shows on my website, www.moneysmartsforyou.com. That's the number four, letter U.com. Next week, I will go into detail about investment strategies, disciplines, and concepts. And this week, I will talk about the different financial ratios used in evaluating investments and what they mean and why they are important. I hope you will join me for the next couple of Wednesdays for the Money Smarts for You shows. If you followed my recommendations found in my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics, available on Amazon, by now you have a spending plan that you can afford. You've saved your initial nest egg of $1,000, and you've started to accumulate cash equal to 6 to 9 months of expenses for your emergency fund. Your nest egg and your emergency fund should be invested in government-insured short-term savings accounts or in government-insured money market funds. I hope you're participating in an employee stock purchase plan as well as a retirement plan like a 401k or 403b, something like that. And if you've been listening this month, you're gaining a better understanding of the investment world. Hopefully today I can help you better understand the financial analysis you hear about and what it means to you when you're making investment choices. There are a lot of moving parts involved in managing a portfolio. Having heard quite a few presentations from portfolio managers over the years, it really annoys me when managers take on a superior attitude and use a lot of complicated language, implying that the average person could not possibly understand what they are saying or what they are doing. It often seems as if they are intentionally making it more complicated sounding than it is, simply to give you the impression that they are smarter than you are. All this with the hopes that you will give up trying to understand and just hand your money over to them. Most of their terms have very simple explanations that make sense if you take the time to understand them. Today, I will go over many of these terms and explain why you want to know them. If you're considering buying stock of a publicly traded company, much of the financial information about the company is available online at the company website. In addition, there are companies that specialize in analyzing companies, and they publish their findings and make it available to the public for a fee. Companies like Standard & Poor's, along with ValueLine, provide quick one-page sheets on companies giving you the financial statements as well as news and information about what business the company is in and new developments for the future. In addition, they rate the companies, giving you their opinion of whether it is a stock to buy, to hold, or to sell. In addition to rating the stock, they also give ratings to the fixed income investments, telling you what they believe the quality to be, starting with AAA, AA, A, BAA, BBB, and lower, with the best quality being AAA. If you have accounts with any of the major financial services firms, most of them can provide you outside research about most companies where you can find comparable information. Here are 5 financial ratios that you will want to understand. They're easy to calculate and sometimes already calculated for you. 1, earnings per share. This ratio lets you know how much of the earnings of the company can be allotted to each share of common stock. After the preferred stock dividend is paid, the earnings of the company are divided by the number of common shares outstanding. The number you come up with is a dollar amount. It might be $2.50 per share, or it might be $1 per share, or it could be $30 per share. What this tells you is how much of the company profits each share. Now, you're asking yourself, why do I care about this? You buy stock in companies because you want your money to grow, either by appreciation or by virtue of the income paid to you in the form of dividends, or in the form of interest if you're buying fixed income securities issued by that company. When you're looking at companies in one industry and trying to decide which one you want to buy, you want to buy the one that is growing the best if your objective is growth, or that is paying you the best dividend if your objective is for income. Remember I talked about investment objectives the first week in April. If you've forgotten a little bit about this, you might want to go back and listen to that podcast again. If the company is not making as much money as others in the industry and does not have good future prospects, then you may not want to own that stock or own that fixed income security. In addition, if the earnings per share do not cover the dividend, then your income stream from the dividends may be in jeopardy. It also could ultimately trickle down the line to affect the fixed income securities as well. Looking at the history of earnings per share will give you an indication of the growth history of a company. If the earnings per share continue to increase year after year, then you're looking at a company that is well managed and that is growing. Usually a company that has consistent increase in earnings per share also sees its stock value increase in price as well. Number two, dividends per share. If you've determined that income or growth in income is your investment objective, then you want to know the dividends per share. In other words, how much money does the company pay each shareholder per share? To calculate the dividends per share, you take the total amount of the annual cash dividend and divide it by the number of common shares outstanding. When you're looking at dividends per share, you must also look at the history of the dividends that have been paid over the years. Has this been the same amount each year? Has it increased little by little over the years? And then go back to the earnings per share figure we just discussed. Are earnings per share more than the dividend per share figure? If the dividend per share is a dollar, then you want the earnings per share to be more than $1. If this is a growth company, then you want the earnings per share to be significantly more so that there is extra money to be plowed back into the company for research and development, for expansion, for growth. Three. Current yield. Current yield calculations provide you with the information you need to know when comparing different rates of return on your investment money. You calculate this number by taking annual dividends per common share, which I just discussed, and divide it by the market value per common share. So if the annual dividend per share is $2.50 and the closing market price of the common share is $80, then the current yield is $2.50 divided by $80, which equals 3.125%. If you're looking at other common stocks, then if you have a lower current yield, then you may want to find out why. Do they have future growth prospects the other company does not have? Is the annual dividend lower? How does this fit into your portfolio? If your investment objective is income alone, then you may be comparing bonds or other fixed income investments to common stock. Remember that the yield on fixed income is fixed once you buy it, and that you will be looking at repayment of your principal on maturity. In addition, common stocks do not have a maturity date when your principal will be returned to you, but they do have the potential of upside movement that can increase your capital if you have a gain when you sell it. Of course, they also have the possibility of downside movement, which can create a loss when you sell it. Recently, when the Federal Reserve has mentioned the possibility of raising interest rates, common stocks that are primarily dividend payers, like utility stocks, have seen some downward pressure on their pricing. Then last week, with lower job growth numbers, speculation began that the Fed may not raise rates as quickly as originally thought, benefiting stocks that pay strong dividends. Four, price-to-earnings ratio. To calculate the price-to-earnings ratio, often called the P/E ratio, you divide the current market price per share by the earnings per share. The P/E ratio is used to compare companies within the same industry as well as companies from one industry to the next. If you are comparing companies from the same industry, say comparing tech stocks one to the other, then you may find that one with the highest P/E ratio may be very close to its 52-week high, possibly more than you want to pay for it. If you find that you're reviewing different companies within one industry and there is one that has a much, much lower P/E ratio than the others, you may want to examine why that is Has there been a dramatic drop in earnings? Does the company have a great deal of debt? Are its future prospects less attractive than its competitors? Industries where the companies have lower PE ratios overall may be in more traditional businesses that are more defensive, having lower growth prospects but more stable earnings and dividend growth. Looking at the history of the PE ratio of a company can also be quite helpful, reflecting the performance of the common stock for that company in relation to its earnings. If, as earnings have gone up or down, the price has followed, then you know that you may see the same kind of activity as earnings ebb and wane. However, if earnings go up, but you do not see the same with the price, then that may indicate other problems with the company that warrant further investigation. 5, current ratio. The current ratio is calculated by dividing current assets by current liabilities. These are found on the balance sheet and in the financial statements that you can find online for each company. With this data readily available from either the annual report or financial sheet prepared by a rating service like Standard & Poor's or Valueline, current assets are things like cash, cash-like assets like CDs, commercial paper, or treasuries, also accounts receivables, notes receivables due within 12 months, and inventory that can be liquidated within 12 months are all considered to be current assets. And just to kind of go over quickly, so that you'll know, accounts receivable is like if a company sells a service or a product, they're not always paid right away. They may be paid within the next 30 or 60 or 90 days. And those would be considered receivables. In other words, they are expecting to receive that money. So they represent money that will be coming in the future. The same is true with notes receivable. Those might be money that is owed by a company that is going to be payable within the next 12 months. So those would be considered a current asset as well. Inventory, well, okay, inventory could be like for a cell phone company, it could be cell phones that haven't sold yet. For a company that sells books, it could be books that haven't been sold yet. So, but they could be liquidated within the 12 months, just to kind of give you a framework to understand current assets and what those words mean. Current liabilities are those debts that mature or have to be paid off within 12 months. These could be things like actual loans issued by banks, or they could also be money owed to vendors that sell them, say, a part that's used in a product that they manufacture. So that's what current liabilities are. Now, if you take current assets and you divide them by current liabilities, this is a ratio, the current ratio, that tells you how easily it will be for a company to meet its current liabilities or to meet its debts that are due within the next 12 months. If the ratio is 1, then it tells you that the current assets are equal to the current liabilities, meaning it would be easy for a company to pay those off, but it wouldn't really leave any extra cash or really any assets that are available within the next 12 months to be used by the company. If the ratio is in the range of 1.5 to 2.5, then that indicates that there's sufficient current assets to pay off any of the debts due in the next 12 months, along with sufficient reserves. A ratio less than 1 indicates that there may be more debts due in the next 12 months than there are assets to pay them off, a sign that further investigation is due. Maybe there are good future prospects that can provide a means to pay off those debts, or maybe there are not. And if they're not, then you may want to steer clear of that company because maybe they're not as well managed as they might appear to be. These 5 ratios can be helpful to you when evaluating common stock of companies that may interest you, including the one you work for, if you work for a publicly traded company. Being knowledgeable about the company you work for and what the future prospects will look like is a good practice for you to follow. I hope I was able to explain these ratios and how they can be used to follow your investment objectives to accomplish your goals for your financial future. With one more week left for the month of April, I hope you can start to feel a sense of excitement, pride of ownership, and involvement in our capitalist system, and an interest in your investment that goes beyond the money involved and gives meaning to your financial life. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S for you, the number four, the letter U.com. And we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.